So Nitin,
yeah,
say hi.
Hey Tony. Oh, we've started, is it? No, 3-1.
Kushka. What is Kushka? How did that name come about?
Winner, winner, Kushka dinner. I don't know how the name came about, by the way.
Kushka is what? Like just biryani's rice?
Yeah, but not plain rice. It has to have
been
cooked in
meat. We've already encroached on masala lab territory.
We haven't even mentioned Mayad reaction, so. The word Kushka has its origin in Kushk, which is an Urdu word meaning dry. Hence, this is also a dry biryani preparation which does not have vegetable masala or gravy in it.
Which biryani has vegetable masala in it?
Pulao.
That was khayali pulao.
I don't know. I've never heard of it. What is that? Khayali pulao.
You know,
in the phrase like, that translates to imaginary rice. Imaginary rice.
Castles in the air. Obviously.
Oh, it's called khayali pulao.
There should be a word for that, no? When you make a meal with all the leftovers in the fridge.
Yeah. The leftovers. Have you seen the show Leftovers?
Leftover lasagna. Do I have it? Do you know the story of Hello to the Queen? Or
no.
Shalom Malakha. In Hampi or Goa or whatever, there were like a couple of Israeli tourists who were like stoned and like came off to one restaurant and they basically wanted some munchies. And like there's nothing left, right? Like it was like very late in the night. So this fellow looked at whatever was left in the fridge or the kitchen and like mixed everything together. Basically, a couple of Mari biscuits, I think ice cream, maybe some banana, whatever. So basically he ate it and he was like so impressed. He said, Shalom Malakha, like hello to the queen. So
okay.
This is a popular dessert you'll find
sounds like
across
banoffee pie.
Goa and Hampi.
Huh? Okay.
Banoffee pie.
You mentioned all the ingredients of banoffee pie. It's in your subliminal mind.
What can you banoffee? Banoffee pie.
Moving into the main course of the first episode of Leftover Lasagna. Tony.
But what is this show about? What are we here for?
What are we here for?
What do you think are your team's chances in the cup?
We here to win.
To win the World Cup.
What as we here for?
Yeah. We're here for discussing, looks like we'll pick a topic once a week, typically. Uh-huh. And we will talk about that topic for a while and hopefully come out with a 10-minute video that is interesting, at least to us. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Or improves our video editing skills drastically because we'll have to chop it up.
Current topic of the day is South Indian vegetarian food, which Tony has very strong thoughts about. Please, Tony. Tell us about your fascination for South Indian vegetarian food, specifically the Bangalore Thindi, which involves people going out on Saturday mornings around the streets of Bangalore, places like Rameshwaram Cafe, where they get dollops of pongal, vada, dosa, sweet sambar, chutney, chitranna, etc. and post photos on Instagram. Tell us about this.
Best place to start talking about it, bought a Gavaskar trophy from a few years ago. Washington Sundar put down a performance for the ages. Or Varsha Bogle was very confidently saying that in their house today, there will be a special delicacy made, chakra pongal, authentically. How would Harsha say chakra pongal?
Chakra pongal.
Shane Warne was still alive, who was probably the definition of box office, right? And he was like, okay, you've been speaking about this for a while. What is chakra pongal? And Harsha was not expecting this question. Is basically looking for ingredients. I'm guessing he Googles and basically he says it is jaggery mixed with rice or something.
Yeah.
And so Shane Warne is basically like, so it's rice.
So it's rice.
Yeah. The whole fascination around this subculture, actually it's not a subculture, it's a dom culture, right? That exists on social media and otherwise, which is obviously dominated by a small set of people. It's quite amusing too. Again, I have to state that at this point, we're not yucking another person's yum. I'm just saying that if you've sort of expanded your knowledge of cuisine or tried a certain amount of things, it's okay, man. I mean, yes, a comfort meal, maybe you have a dosa or an idli, but it's definitely not something you're putting on a bucket list if you've lived enough and tasted enough food, right? So that's basically the origin of my sort of strong pushback against this subculture. So in the way that if you want to wake up and go for a morning run, yeah, great. I mean, good for you. But in the valorization of such a banal activity, I mean, this will combine two of my pet hates, right? One is running. The other is thindi. And like running for thindi, probably like whatever comes. So my analogy being that running is great for the person who's running it. Tindy is probably great for the person who's enjoying it. But it's definitely not an Instagrammable activity, right? It's like the baseline of what physical activity or like food can be.
So since you mentioned three activities now, running, Tindy and Instagram, these three activities actually kind of encapsulate the evolution of the human race itself.
Oh, wow. Right?
Let me explain. So I don't know if you've read the book Born to Run. I'm sure I would have recommended it to you at some point, multiple times. If not, please take this as a recommendation. We will leave a link in the show notes. It's a book by this person called Christopher McDougall, who was a journalist, researcher who went to South America to follow, running tribes that live over there. What he uncovers through the course of the book is that the fundamental advantage that the human race had in an evolutionary sense over all its predators and what was its chosen prey back in the day was the fact that human beings are endurance runners, right? And there's a lot of research around this now because human beings are the only mammals that are capable of running for very long periods of time. Typically,
can just tire them down. Yeah, tire down.
Human beings used to tire out, their deers and gazelles and whatnot. And hunter-gatherer phase, where human beings typically used to eat berries and
it didn't matter that you didn't eat for days. You could just run.
You could run and meals would come in sudden spurts, right? You would have a massive treat on a particular day when the hunt has been completed, and you would probably eat, a deer over a period of few days. But you would suddenly come across a bunch of fruit or berries that have fallen off from a tree, right? So
First deerness allowance.
That was the first. What is that? Shalom malaka. multiple sweet things would just be placed in front of you and you
first,
would enjoy yourself.
Travel allowance and deerness allowance combined. Basically.
So we used to be those hunter-gatherers. We used to be very good, very outdoorsy, very athletic. And, we honed our skill to run until we actually discovered agriculture. So after being hunter-gatherers for millions of years. 10,000 years back, we figured out that...
That's when everything went to shit.
Everything literally went to shit. The human body's skeletal structure started changing. We were actually not designed to do this repetitive plowing and tilling of land, this predictable, boring labor, etc. We were not designed to do that, but we were sort of tempted by the choice of having very predictable flow of food, which is what agriculture...
Is this a metaphor for the Instagram algorithm?
Yeah, it could be. Little doses of dopamine coming your way. We really started consuming grains and everything else only 10,000 years back. Our teeth weren't designed for it. We used to have bigger teeth. We used to have sharper canines. The ancient human beings. All of that started changing. Our entire skeletal structure started changing in the last 10,000 years. But lactose intolerance amongst all mammals is the norm. Human beings, because milk is plentifully available to us, have managed to convince our bodies that milk is okay for us, right? And we are the only mammals who consume milk after the gestation period.
This is why human beings are thala for a reason. Like after Dhoni who consumes industrial quantities.
Oh, bahayo. Thala for that reason. Yes, indeed. So this now neatly moves us to the second phase, right? You mentioned three things. So running was number one. So second phase of evolution is agriculture and vegetarian food, which is where we have come.
Is number two.
Which is number two. Exactly. Now, every problem that... now there's a lot of science around why we have body ache, why we have diseases. Everything is some form of inflammation, right? The body is acting out some kind of issue with what you're putting into the body, either in the form of thoughts or in the form of food. Typically, those are the only two ways in which you consume stuff. And so all this type 2 diabetes, for instance, right, is a great example of a lifestyle disease. We are now beset with these lifestyle diseases all around us because of the kind of industrial quantities of industrialized food that we are consuming these days, eating three times a day, et cetera, especially now in the last, knowledge era, so to put it, where most people beyond a certain stage of affluence are really doing knowledge work with very little physical labor. The whole habit of having food three times a day, typically with a lot of grains and sugars as part of it, is completely, I would say, poorly designed diet choice that human beings are putting themselves. Right. And it's one of the reasons why we have all the lifestyle diseases that we do. Anyway,
so our fears of if the machine will take over are actually unfounded because the machines have already taken over long ago and given us lifestyle diseases.
That's a very good...
By doing all our work. And like,
indeed, that's a wonderful and dark observation. Yes. Now, how to now usher in the third era, of course, is the Instagram era, which you spoke about, which where, it doesn't matter whether we're doing prehistoric stuff like running or we're doing, medieval stuff like eating unhealthy food.
Yeah.
Everything is now an Instagrammable moment because look, I have internet. Yeah.
Yeah, so the cherry on top of all of this is that Zuckerberg literally means sugar
Sugar
mountain,
mountain.
right? There you go.
And hence Instagram is basically, you know, a bad vegetarian diet. There you go.
Bad vegetarian diet.
That's what
no,
it
no,
is.
but yeah, tell me, as a runner and hopefully Tindy lover or Tindy lover adjacent, explain to me, like, what is this behavior?
So I wouldn't term myself a Tindy aficionado. That said, I really love my dosas. I love my sambar vadas as well. For me, there have been days when I've gone cycling or gone running, you know, in Bangalore.
Yeah.
And you finish it off with a wonderful South Indian breakfast where you have, you
Correct.
know, a crisp dosa,
Filter
a couple of
coffee
vadas and filter
and
coffee.
vada.
It's just the dopamine kick it gives you, man. Like, what's not to like? It's as good as having pancakes.
No, but here's
Around.
the other question is that essentially a dosa or an idli or an appam for that matter
Or a medu vada.
is just a vessel
It
to
is an uttappa, uttappa.
or an uttappa. Is just a vessel to soak up amazing stuff like a prawn curry or a mutton curry or pork or, I mean, at the very least, some chicken, man. Like, it's not the star of the show. It's meant to be like the
You're right.
vessel that soaks up. Yeah.
No, so see, left to my own devices, if I did not have to consume, you know, some amount of fiber and, you know, vegetable nutrients through the day, my diet would probably just be meat. It's just that I need to account for the fact that I need bowel movements to happen. That's the only reason why I take, you know, any stuff that is not meat in my diet. This fact,
no,
by
but
the way.
Here's the thing, right? Like, what doesn't get accounted for in the culture or subculture is the fact that most of South India, Tamil Nadu, Kerala, Andhra, Karnataka, is actually highly non-vegetarian. Right? So, like, when my dad first moved to Tamil Nadu, he was in rural Tamil Nadu, somewhere in Madurai or Theni or one of those places. And, like, he's like, okay, I'm first time away from Kerala. Let me have something, you know, that won't upset my stomach. And he was asked by, you know, this, like, whatever, whoever was taking care, saying, sir, what do you have for dinner? And he said, just get me chapati and vegetable curry. And, like, he got chapati and a mutton curry with some potato in it. And he's like, what is this? Like, I asked for vegetable curry. He's like, yeah, curry. They have put vegetable. I've added potato. So curry there literally means mutton, right?
It's not,
like,
it's not C-U-R-R-Y curry. It is K-A-R-I curry.
It's K-A-R-I, yeah. Correct. No, but like your representation on social media is not equal to sort of popular choice of food either.
No, it's not. It's not. But I mean, you're right. The South India, especially Kerala and Tamil Nadu, I think is a close fast follower, are very, very high on meat consumption. And generally, there is a wrong perception that South Indian diet is vegetarian diet. It's completely wrong. But you're right. The whole South Indian breakfast concept that is valorized in the Tindi runs is largely a Brahmin construct, right? In fact, a lot of the restaurants that serve these kinds of dishes in Bangalore also claim to be Brahmin establishments. They actually have the word Brahmin in their names itself. It's true both in Karnataka that I've noticed as well as in Tamil Nadu. There's this concept of a military hotel. So the armed forces.
Yeah, in Bombay armed, also. It's either Hindu hotel or military hotel. Yeah.
Exactly. So since the people in the armed forces were the ones who would eat meat because they need the energy or, you know, the jigger.
And
of,
consume alcohol.
Yeah, but these are not bars. These are definitely most certainly
wow.
not bars. These are just restaurants that typically serve chicken and mutton, right? But
right.
The term military restaurant is basically proof to you. Now, so these are all these terms, right? Which are all like nudge, nudge, wink, wink ways by which establishments could indicate what they were serving.
Distinguish, yeah.
Could distinguish, right? So you have the Brahmin's coffee bar, etc. in Bangalore, which are very popular. You also have this Shaivam, Ashaivam and military that I mentioned, right? You also have the concept of pure veg restaurant. So
pure veg.
A veg restaurant already indicates that the place is not going to serve you non-vegetarian food, right? So you might wonder,
correct,
what should be a pure veg restaurant? The pure
I
veg
do.
Is an indication to the patrons that the people running the establishment are Brahmins. And hence, they're not only serving you veg food, but they themselves are unpolluted. And they're going to serve you extremely clean food. So it's a nudge-nudge, wink-wink again suggestion to people.
Right. No, but I mean, even today, right? Like, forget this Puritan aspect. I feel like the Indian diet on average is extremely out of whack with the times that we live in, right? Like,
absolutely.
If you have a certain amount of privilege of income and ability to choose foods, your food habits should change accordingly, which it doesn't, right? Like, your food is still about 80% carbs, and like, even the vegetables are like deep fried in oil and shit like that.
And this, see, actually now with, again, here we have to thank Instagram and social media, at least in my case.
Yeah.
My knowledge of nutrition and what is good and what is bad for eating. I'm not 38 years of age. I think for the first 30 years of my life, I had all the wrong fundas, you know. And that's probably also the power of marketing and what it does to us, right? The famous
okay,
thing
you grew
about...
up in Tamil Nadu also, can't be blamed.
What is this sliding?
I don't know.
What I was... So, see, the basic thing that we've all been exposed to as we grew up, right, is cornflakes. We were all told that, you know, cornflakes with milk is extremely healthy breakfast, right? Which was just that one company, Kellogg, coming up with a marketing campaign to position their food as healthier than the prevalent breakfast at that time in the West, which was bacon and eggs, which, by the way, is an extremely healthy breakfast because it's high on protein. It's high on red meat. It gives you all the minerals, vitamins, whatever you need. It sets you up beautifully for the day, and it does not give you a sugar spike, unlike cornflakes, which typically people add milk and sugar to when they eat, right? The lactose in the milk alone is not enough. So you add additional table sugar to it, apart from corn itself, which is basically glucose. Right. So it's just a triple whack sugar hit that you get in the morning. And we grew up reading that that was actually healthy.
Right.
It is the exact opposite of healthy food.
Yeah.
A lot of what I've learned, at least, I only learned like in the last 5 or 6 years through, you know, channels that you see on Instagram. There's a lot more research, podcasts. I mean, there are lots of great podcasts now that I actually started busting food myths. And even this whole thing about, you know, how the diet, especially the Indian diet with high carb, is fully inverted to the needs of human beings is something that I've only learned in the last few years, right? We are just with the three
not
times
human beings, human beings with the lifestyle that human beings currently have. Yeah.
Especially so. But I mean, yeah, that again, right? So even if you go back to the hunter-gatherer phase where our lifestyles were very different, we were not eating all the carbs that we were eating. We started eating carbs because they became available. And then our lifestyle involved actually farming and tilling land, which maybe briefly necessitated us to eat all the carbs that we were eating. But then we have now gone away from that. So there's definitely no need to continue to consume carbs in those industrial quantities that we continue to. But yeah, you're right. Indian diet especially is a complete... And like you said, right, it's not even a question of privilege and moving to a healthier choice, because I think awareness is still so low. There are people in my own family who I need to convince that, you know, what we grow up, or rather what food we enjoy as adults, is largely down to what food we were made to eat.
Nostalgia.
When we were children. So if there is one good thing you could do to your child, it is to actually not get your child addicted to sugar. It's very easy to do. You just need to basically not present sugar as an option to children.
Not give them
Don't give them milk without sugar, for instance. Don't give them your processed sweets. Don't give them laddus and jalebis, etc. when they're young. By the time they're 6, 7, 8 years, and I'm actually seeing this with my son, they actually don't crave sweets. They don't enjoy it. They will refuse it, even if you offer it to them. And this keeps happening to my son, where, you know, family members will force my child to eat sweets and he will resist. He will resist with all vehemence. And I'll be like, he doesn't want it. Just leave him be. Right.
Correct.
Yeah. So,
no, but there's like social pressures are immense, right? Like you can't suddenly, like diet, I guess, is the last thing to change. Right.
And it is.
Never... When you go to a, let's say a restaurant, right, which serves a different cuisine, you're automatically okay with them serving you a different balance of protein to carb, right?
Typically,
not talking about a vegetarian restaurant. Really, if you're going to a...
Ethiopian restaurant.
Reasonably upscale. Yeah, not Ethiopian, like continental or whatever, right? And you're and getting a steak or a chicken something, whatever.
Yeah.
Generally, you don't question it either, right? So it's just a possibly a question of habit / convention.
You do, but you know what's interesting, right? You go to KFC in India, and KFC is not the best example. It is the most unhealthy food you could eat. But KFC in India, and I'm not talking about the ones that are opening in Ayodhya where they're going to serve only vegetarian KFC. But your regular KFCs in India come with a side of rice, right? Because people go there and they're like, oh, I can't just eat chicken. I need to have rice.
Really?
Yeah, they have some jollof rice or some colored rice.
Maybe
some shit
fries?
No, rice as well. They serve with rice.
So they have dried fries and fried rice, both.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So even these franchises, and again, the Mekalu Tiki Burger is an SKU that the McDonald's only sells in one country in the world. So it is true that, you know, even the biggest brands in the world that have come to India have had to modify their offerings to suit the Indian requirements. So unless you go to like a very, very authentic...
Like upscale, Kellogg's is now into Upma or something like that.
Correct.
Yeah. Which brings us down to tribalism, right? And like, if you fundamentally think about it, our views have primarily been shaped by the availability of the internet, right? And the knowledge that there are people who won't like disown you because you're suddenly making rational decisions, right? Whether it is on religion or food or anything else. And you have a society to fall back on. So maybe... that's at the basis of it all, right? Whether you're a hunter-gatherer or an internet community, it all comes down to
the ability to have tribes. I'm guessing like it's a human need to spend more time with people who by and large agree with you, right? Not 100%, but at least let's say 70 to 80% of the time.
Yeah, I think there's no disagreement on that. Yeah. We tend to, we do like our equation.
Hence proved, QED.
Absolutely right. You're correct. That was the first episode of, that was the first episode.
Leftover lasagna.
Leftover lasagna. That was the first episode of Leftover Lasagna. We hope to bring back the leftovers once a week from deep inside the refrigerator, hopefully with another interesting topic in a week's time.